everybody, how's it going? My name is Isaiah, and welcome to my podcast, first episode, or rather the episode zero of Magic System Monday. I just wanted to go ahead and take the time out to talk to you guys and give you a better idea of what's actually going to be going down, and kind of the main goal of the series as a whole. Now, specifically, what I want to be talking about on this channel is, as the name says, Magic System Monday. I want to be talking about the power systems in fiction, or the, as they say sometimes, if it suits you, magic systems. Now, from me saying that, you can probably already imagine exactly what it is I'm talking about. And if you're a fictional writer, you're probably no stranger to this term. Magic system, or power systems, in fiction, or simply put, it is, the term we give for all the, the super cool things they can do that are out of the natural. Maybe you like writing superhero books or superhero stories where the characters, they can do these amazing feats, like they can jump really high. Or maybe you like the X-Men, where they have the whole mutants and all the different powers. Then there's also, things like Doctor Strange. They have magic there where, you have all these cool powers you can do and things like that. Now, power systems in fiction are really cool, not just because of their flair, but because they add to what you can do as a writer. You can take them and you can say, hey, what if people can shoot lasers out of their eyeballs? And you say, what if I want to build a story around that, or a story associated with that? Then you can say, all right, how does this affect the world, or how does this affect the way the characters do? So now you have so many more options, depending on what you choose, to how the story can work and what can happen within it. And you have things like, say Lord of the Rings and J.R. Tolkien. You even have things like Star Wars, or people have the Force. And these things have a very big impact on the way the story goes down and what the story is even about. And that's the fun part of magic systems, is they allow you to do that. Of course, if you like, if you like boring old fiction, or, like slice of life and stuff like that, this probably isn't the place for you. Sorry. And so that's predominantly what the podcast is going to be about. It's going to be talking about those magic systems, their ins and outs, maybe even bring up our own, or some that you guys request. And we can look at those. We can look at, the inner workings of them and how they affect the story, how well built they are. Or we can critique them if they're, they're flawed. And there are a lot of different kinds of magic systems too, which is the fun part, because you have so many options. It all boils down to what you as a writer want to do. You know what I'm saying? We have hard magic systems, soft magic systems. We'll be going over stuff like that in a moment. But the strange thing, though, despite everything I just said, is the fact that, despite the fact that we have all this writing advice on the internet, that we have people teaching classes, and we have books that teach people how to write books, and all these good things. We have screenwriters and all this, and screenwriting help. One thing I've noticed is we don't have a whole lot of magic system help. Now, like I said before, if you're a writer, if you're a fictional writer, you might be no stranger to the term magic system, or hard magic system, or soft magic system. But like I said, what I've noticed is the fact that despite the people know about these things, or have heard about these things, they only know really vague details about them. Or if you look up something on how to help you build a magic system, whether it's hard or soft, or whatever kind of, or if you want characters with superpowers or this and that or whatever, there's not a whole lot of information on that. You can trick yourself into thinking that there is. I do it all the time. I go on YouTube or Google looking for information on what people think about how to build these magic systems. And you'll see a few videos, but you notice after a while that they all kind of spin their wheels. They all go in the same place and nothing, it's all cursory information. It's all basic. And nothing delves extremely deep into them. And if they do, it's often very specific cases, or, say, dedicated channels. For instance, a channel might be very dedicated to Star Wars. So, obviously, eventually, after you sift through the thousands and millions of videos on that, you can end up finding someone who maybe talks in depth about, the Force or the magic system in that world. But no one really teaches it teaches the art of it in general, aside from those cursory, kind of like basic stuff, like introductory little lessons and whatnot on soft and magic systems. I'm sorry, in soft and hard magic systems. And that's what bothers me. This is something that's very important. It's something a lot of people claim to know a lot about. But after getting to talk to them, often they don't know very much of anything, or it's very localized or very limited. So that's what this podcast is going to be about. It's going to be looking at them, analyzing them, critiquing them, what's good about them, what's bad about them, what can we learn from this, what do we like about the execution of these magic systems. Also, you know, what kind, you know, you get what I'm saying. Things like that. And hopefully, we can all have a better understanding of these magic systems. Because, let's be honest, I feel like to the degree that I want it, that if I don't do this podcast, then you're not going to get that depth anywhere else. So I hope I can fulfill that for you guys. Perhaps you're a writer, and you want to get better at writing magic systems. Hopefully I can share some of this experience with you guys. I'm sorry I should have brought this up at the beginning of the podcast, but I do have several years. I have, with the relatively short amount of time I've been on this earth, I've been doing this, building magic systems, for about half of them. So hopefully I can impart some information onto you guys. I don't consider myself to be the best at it or anything, but like I said, I am a specialist. I do actually do it, and I call it out specifically, as opposed to just saying, yes, I'm a writer. If you ask me, what do I do in my spare time? I say, well, I build magic systems, or I critique magic systems, and things like that. That's not something you get a whole lot. So now, as a specialist, hopefully, I can help you guys better understand it. Hopefully, if this actually gains any major traction, I can actually get other people on board, maybe some people with writers, people with experience, or people who do a similar thing to what I do. Or maybe when I'm going over a magic system for a specific piece of work, maybe people who are, I can get people who are more well-versed in that work than me to come help me out, to get a better idea. So with that being said, hopefully I can get a few more people on board every so often. I know I already got someone who's agreed to help me with the next episode, which we're gonna be reviewing the magic system for Avatar: The Last Airbender. That's right, keeping it. We're starting simple with that. But before we even get into all of that, I want to talk to you guys a little bit about my grading system. I have two, actually. Now, so when I was making the grading system, when I was I ran into a problem. I realized something that happens a lot. A lot of the people who think they understand magic systems, or think they understand what it takes to make a good one, have some incredibly strong biases. And I've noticed that it's become very apparent to me that a lot of people have very strong biases on what they consider to be a good or a bad magic system that are strictly based off of their preference, and a lot of them don't even realize it. For instance, I mentioned earlier that something called soft and hard magic systems. Now, these two are very different machines, so to speak. And I've noticed that, for instance, people who like very clear, defined rules when it comes to the way the powers work, that serves its purpose, and it's pretty good, too. But they tend to, on average, not all of them, people, they tend to not like soft magic systems as much because the rules are undefined, and they feel like the writer can use it too easily, can kind of like bend the plot to their will without it making any sense, or leaving things too vague. They like having answers. That's good. On the other hand, we have soft magic systems where things are left kind of vague, a lot of information is not given, and sometimes there are no real rules at all. The writer just doesn't tell you them, admit that. These two, I've noticed that these two are kind of like polar opposites, or at least people think of them that way. Soft magic systems are really good for when you want the powers to be mystical, like for instance, I brought up Doctor Strange earlier. In Doctor Strange, a lot of the powers don't really get explained. They explain a little bit about how it works, just basic, small information. But when it comes to the details of how it's actually pursued and how everything works together, they don't really give that information, and they don't need to, because the story is not about that information, or every nook and cranny of that information isn't necessary for the story or where the story is going. And that's fine. I noticed that a lot of people give critiques on hard magic systems because they like soft magic systems. They rate hard magic systems poorly because they feel as though all magic systems should have some kind of a, should have some kind of mysticism to them, like soft magic systems do. But again, not all of them are like that. For instance, Full Metal Alchemist, and like I said, the next episode would be Avatar The Last Airbender. They're both relatively hard magic systems. Now, you don't have to have, you know, either a hard or soft. You can have an in-between. You can have features of different systems that are hard and soft. Maybe some are a lot more defined than others, so you can be in the middle. For instance, for me, with 1 being soft and 10 being hard, I'd say I'm about a 5 or a 6. I kind of have like a decent mixture of each, if you know what I'm saying. But, you know, the ones I just mentioned, Avatar, Last Airbender, and Full Metal Alchemist, they lean towards the hard side. And people who like mysticism will tell you that that's a bad thing. However, that's strictly just their preference. And that's a problem with the grading system I have here. Everything that people grade on is preference. Like how cool things are, how flashy things are, or their own biases where maybe you're old school and you like stuff like, you know, D&D or Tolkien. Maybe you like when people use their magic or they cast spells. Maybe you like them to say their words, you know, to say the words or whatever. Or maybe you watch anime and people, you know, say their words and their attacks. Or there's a special language that their magic is based off of, like Harry Potter or something. Whereas some of the others I might mention or bring up, they don't have them. You know, things like that, that people are grading on. I wanted to make sure that while I can go over my own preferences and things like that, I want to make sure that it doesn't bleed too far into the criteria. And once I started picking off all the relative stuff, all the preference-based criteria that people bring, I came up with an awkward bare-bones list. But I have it. So I have three major criteria for my grading system. Those would be cohesion, limitation, and governance. And these are the most fundamental things that I could possibly... It's not a complete list. It's not perfect. I don't think I'm the best at this. But from my experience, these three things are the very important things that are not relative to what kind you're building or what your preferences are. I'm going to go over them. For starters, we have cohesion. And this is very, very basic. It is everything, you know, in one lump sum? Or does everything make sense? Does your perception of the magic system contradict itself? If not, then, you know, it works together as one whole piece, one whole system. Whether the rules are hard or soft, whether it's defined or vague, they need to work together without stepping on each other's toes. Like, if you tell me one thing in one episode or one chapter and tell me another thing in the next chapter without giving a reason for why they're different, then you've violated the rules. And they don't make any sense. See, like anything, think of it like a computer program or a law in a government or something, where you need to have that stuff work without contradicting itself, because otherwise the system cannot run at optimal capacity like you need it to. Now, a lot of writers like to get around this. They get around this by swiping it under the rug. Knowing the hound that I am, I sniff this stuff out a lot, and a lot of people give me crap for it, because I'll point out the flaws that they glossed over, or maybe people are so used to some of these contrivances and plot armor and things like that, that the writers very stealthily break their own rules, and the viewers don't notice. And I'll point it out, like, aha, that's a violation. And people get super aggravated with me about that. But anyway, that's just something that I do. That's a tangent. I probably even cut this out of the video. I mean, not the video, the podcast audio. But anyway, you want to have everything make sense. None of the rules, none of the sectors of rules can contradict each other. And, well, there's not much else to say there. It's as simple as that. When you look at a piece of work, you want to ask yourself, how well does it do that? It might have a lot of good stuff in it, but if the rules themselves are too inconsistent, or if the rules break each other and the writer never addresses it, then you have a whole problem on your hands. And it's immersion breaking too. Second, this is my favorite one. Limitation. Now, what do you mean, Isaiah? Did you say at the beginning that all of these, you know, cool powers and stuff that you give, all the, you know, the cool stuff that you give the characters the ability to do, wasn't that about enabling them to do stuff so you could, you know, you could write cool stories or you could write, you know, cool fiction? Well, yes. But one thing you might forget as a writer when you make your magic system, because you're gonna say, oh, I want all this cool stuff. I want this. I want that. You know, I want to, you know, characters to be able to shoot fireballs and lightning bolts, or maybe you like Superman. Yeah. Man of Steel, where he's just, you know, super powerful. He can fly. He can pick up planets, shoot laser beams from his eyeballs. He's invincible. He's bulletproof. All that stuff is all fine and good. You can give them, you know, all these cool powers and all these cool techniques and things and all this cool stuff they can do. But no matter what, you always need to write to be able to write a good story. And what was one major thing you need to write a good story? You need conflict. And conflict is birthed through limitation. What do you mean? Because, see, these powers, they give people the ability to do stuff, but if you give them the ability to solve every problem, then the problems at hand, depending on how you do it, you can, if you're not careful, deflate the conflict. I've noticed a lot of people have critiques on different works of fiction about how some of the characters are overpowered. Now, you can use an overpowered character there in certain ways and make it work. Oftentimes, they're used in the wrong way because the writer didn't give them enough limitation or the kinds of limitations that could facilitate the conflict or their place in the story. Now, there are a lot of ways you can do that, too. For instance, let's just say they have limited stamina. I mean, there are so many different ways that you can do this, and it depends on the situation, too. For instance, let's just go old school, stuff like D&D or stuff like Lord of the Rings, where people cast spells and use magic. Well, we know there are a couple of limitations there. We know that they say, for instance, someone like Gandalf kind of needs his wand, his staff to cast spells, or Harry Potter needs his staff. We know they often say the words, too. And they have to be have the proper concentration and things like that. Those are limitations within those works of fiction that work. They say no matter how powerful their magic is or what kind of crazy stuff they can do, these things have to be in order. You see what I'm saying? Or for someone like Superman, we know he has kryptonite. Now, to be completely honest, the whole kryptonite weakness is a very cheap, poorly written weakness. Now, a lot of writers salvage it to do different things with it, but there's very little coming back from the flaw of that writing there, where you could have made something a lot more conductive to the plot than just saying, ah, this random rock that falls from the sky at the exact moment the writer needs it to. This is the kind of thing you want to avoid. Now, I know people love Superman. That's fine. Superman's cool, I guess. But that doesn't change the fact that the writers kind of dropped the ball there. It's your job as a writer to be very careful with what kind of limitations you give them. Sometimes those limitations are just limits on the actual output of their ability. For instance, let's just say character X, he can shoot laser beams out of the palm of his hand, but he only has so much stamina. Or what if these beams are only so strong? So now we know there are limits to their abilities, that whenever we throw them into a situation, they can't just solve it. Now, this becomes more complex in the sense that the more creative you get as a writer, the more different kinds of conflicts you can throw at them, where their abilities are not enough to just instantly solve the problem, where they can be helpful or even useless and not matter. For instance, someone with Superman, I see this a lot in fiction, where they will take this super powerful character and say, well, let's do the train track thing. Let's just say there's a train track over here, there's a train track over there. There's someone you love on this one and someone you don't know on that one. You can only save one of them. You only have enough time to stop one of them. All of a sudden, there's a conflict now. That person is not fast enough to just cheese the game and fix everything. You see what I'm saying? That now they're in a situation where if they can't think of a solution, they might literally be cost something. Now you have that conflict is restored. You see what I'm saying? You also have to get good at tailoring those conflicts to them. But anyway, I think I've talked enough about that. Yeah, But ultimately, the takeaway is you need limitation to have conflict, and you need to tailor those limitations to the conflict and vice versa. Now, the last one I want to go over is governance. And governance is a very, very simple one as well. It is, do you as the writer actually follow the rules? I'm going to repeat that. Do you as the writer actually follow the rules? You say, yeah, it's a little bit similar to cohesion, but not exactly. Because you can look at all the rules, you can look at all the rules. You know, the rules aren't necessarily retconned when people break them. These two are, you know, sheesh. What you want to do is, you want to not only take, you want to, you know, take the whole cohesion thing into account and say, well, these are all the rules that the writer gives you or the writer suggests, and then you ask yourself, does he actually follow these rules at all times? This is up to you as a writer. This is something that a lot of people find hard. If you've got simple rules, it's not that big of a deal. If you've got more complicated ones, and of course it gets more complicated. It's all a matter of what you as a writer can handle and what you prefer. Like some rules, I've been told I'm a very meticulous writer when it comes to world building and, you know, rule writing and things like that. Some features are very simple and some are very difficult, but for me, I know how to build ones that are complex that I can handle because they're conductive to my personality or my identity as a writer. So some things that people find complicated with the rules or trying to remember all the time when they're writing aren't necessarily difficult for me. However, if you handed me someone else's rule set, then this would be problematic because I wouldn't be attuned to the way that they write their rules and regulations and their limitations. That's a Oh no, I feel a tangent coming on. This is probably something I'm gonna have to talk about in the in another episode in more depth when it comes to handing off pieces of fiction to other writers and the problems that can arise from that, and not that it's necessarily a completely wrong thing to do. There's just some serious risks there, but I'll talk about that later. But oftentimes, writers will they will say, these are the rules, this, that. They might be consistent, they might be inconsistent, or they might, you know, break each other. They might not have cohesion, but whatever, that's not the problem here. The problem comes in the fact that they will say the rules are one thing, and then they will behave as if they are something else sometimes. Not all the time, but sometimes in critical moments of the plot, they will try to stealthily sneak past their viewers a break in cohesion. Or sometimes, I've done this a couple of times too, I've adjusted rules mentally, subconsciously, without actually realizing it, without paying attention. And yeah, it is where it helps to have some simple rules or basic rules that you can remember as, you know, as a writer. Oftentimes, though, I've noticed that when writers do this, sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes it's actually very, very intentional because they wrote themselves into a corner. And they don't know what to do about it. Well, to that I say, I'm sorry, but you gotta follow the rules. It is something that I talk about a lot too, where you should have, when you were writing those rules, you should have made it something that was conductive to the plot or to the story, like I said, too, with limitation. Did they facilitate conflict or whatever? But you also have to worry about facilitating resolution. Let's say you broke the second rule. The rule of limitation. And let's say a villain is too powerful. This happens every so often with things like Thanos, or even this was a very big deal in a series called Naruto, where the writer wrote himself into a corner. This is a famous anime example, by the way. There was a super cool villain named Madara Uchiha. He was just super cool, super powerful. He was like the most powerful person ever, or the second most powerful in the world, or something like that. And the writer liked him so much, and he made him so powerful, that he stopped one day and he was like, "What do I do? They have to beat this guy, but I don't know if they can do it. There's nothing in the rules here that says that I can use, that I can think of, that the main characters can get over on this guy because he's just too good." So what do writers do in these situations? Well, like I said, one, You should have been prepared for this. I know it's a hard thing to do because you can't just see the future, but you need to keep an open mind and a flexible mind when you're making these magic systems in the beginning. Or, you can go the cheap route, which a lot of writers do, and they just take a rule and say, well, I'm going to tweak it a little bit. I'm just going to bend it right here. Where they will either say it is something else, the rule is different from what it actually is, or they will treat it differently. Oftentimes, these differences are subtle. They are related, but you can tell. If you know the rules, if you know exactly what they told you in the beginning or with how the powers work, you can often tell that it doesn't make any sense or that it's wrong, in which case you know the writer pulled a fast one on you. However, people tend to not notice these because I've been told I scrutinize too much. Hey, it's not my fault. It doesn't make sense. That was your job as a writer. And I'm not saying that just because they break these rules that all of a sudden they're bad writers now, or that their stories are horrible, or that they suck or whatever. No. Say, for instance, Naruto. I used to love Naruto as a kid. I used to love it growing up. The writer made a lot of hiccups and mistakes, but I still like the series, at least the first half of it, because, you know, there are so many problems. But just because he made mistakes, or because I critique something and I give it a poor score in the magic system department, that does not mean that you're not allowed to like this thing. I want that to be made very clear. That doesn't mean your opinion is wrong and I hate you. It doesn't mean anything like that. You know, I'm just saying that this is where the writer fell short and could do better. And it's good to learn that, to point that out and be honest about it, because it makes us better people. If you hold a writer accountable, that makes him a better writer. If you hold a policeman accountable, that means you will have better policemen. If you, you see what I'm saying? You know. Yeah, that's it. And then when people see that, when people see what they did wrong, you can say, okay, let me not make this mistake. Because, like, bringing back up Naruto, one of the biggest things I learned from Naruto in terms of writing is a lot of mistakes that I know not to make now. Yeah, so that was a tangent. Yeah, so just to recap governance, it is, do you follow the rules? And if not, you get a low score there. It's not a yes or no Boolean thing. It's more of a how often do you bend or break those rules? And that will decide your score. In a perfect world, everything would get a 10 in this. They would always follow their actual rules. You know what I'm saying? However, sometimes in a good piece of work, it's usually from 7 to 9.5 for me. Those are usually my ratings on a scale of 1 to 10 for governance, for good pieces of work. Sometimes they bend them, or sometimes they're not clear, or sometimes they're a little bit flimsy, or something like that, in ways that are small enough that you can just let it go. Yeah, and the worst works, though, sometimes that governance isn't there. Another problem I encounter a lot when it comes to governance is you don't really know if the governance is in or out of place, if it's working or not, because they don't really clarify the rules. When I say that, I mean, this goes for both hard and soft magic systems. It becomes more obvious in hard magic systems because all the rules are very, very, very clear. But soft magic systems do it too, where, because, you know, even they have, you know, their rule, some rules and regulations and things that you know about, you know, for the series, you know, for the magic to work, for the powers to work. And they will bend that. For instance, I think I'll bring up things like X-Men. X-Men, as far as I know, is more or less a soft magic system. But if the writer says this person's power is such and such, and they spend the entire series doing such and such, and then the writer has them do something completely different, or has their power work a completely different way from what he explicitly stated, and does not address it, you know, that's a problem too. Having said that, this is not necessarily a problem if the writer says, hey, something was different, or there was a rule that we didn't know about, or there was an exception to the rule or something like that, and then that becomes clear, that has clarification throughout the series or at some later time. That's not a problem. People do that all the time, especially when it comes to hard magic systems. when characters are learning things, they'll often find out that there was another detail or feature that they didn't know about. And then, so you add that rule on top. You add that, that's kind of like and they add the rule in to the, you know, to the overall cohesion. That effectively ties down the knot on the grading system. Well, probably sometime next week, I'll drop the first video on Avatar The Last Airbender. We can go over that system and talk about it a lot, too. So yeah, until then, this is Isaiah on Magic System Monday, and I'll see you guys later.